So this is Iacocca Teleclass number 4. I've got Eric, Doug, Brandy, Steve, Jeff, and Vance, as well as Jay Swindle on the call. Welcome, everybody.
Ramon's on the call.
And Ramon. Ramon, I didn't hear you. Thanks for chiming in. Appreciate it. And Ramon. So welcome, everybody. This is the 4th teleclass. As for my email, we're going to primarily focus on problem-solving versus informing and some of the practices that go with that. We're also going to hit the 2x2 if time permits, just to get some more iterations on it. But before we jump into that, a quick reminder on the etiquette. It's been a couple classes since we went over that. If you have your binders, bring them. No multitasking if you can prevent it. Minimize the background noise if you can prevent it. Tell us your name before you speak. Now that we're a little, I mean, usually we were all in the same room, but we're calling from different places a little more today. Stay on subject, avoid tangents. These are confidential calls, so feel free to go deeper if you want to, and then post a takeaway. So with that, wanted to just check in with you guys. How are you guys feeling about the program? How are you feeling about some of the things you're practicing with, wrestling with? Any wins to speak of, perhaps maybe some struggles to throw out to the team?
This is Brandy. I just wanted to say I think I sent it in a journal piece, but I didn't probably put it out there as well as I'd like to. But I went back and really dove into the execution reading, and I just wanted to say that I really got a lot just of self-awareness out of that reading, and was able to see how I'm not really balancing some things very well right now, like the energy and focus. Steve and I were able to talk about that in our Monday meeting, just things I need to do to make sure that I don't deplete my energy while working on focus. Same thing with, I really loved the whole part about having real dialogue, which I felt like probably I had been having meetings where I don't think I was participating in a dialogue with people, which is why, you know, I felt probably frustrated, like I wasn't getting to the root of certain things. I even bookmarked the Harvard Business Review article that y'all took some stuff from. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I just wanted to say that was a great, like, hour and a half just really diving into those 30 pages. And I felt like it was a win as to why I was kind of, frustrated or felt like I wasn't. I think the big thing that Steve and I talked about on Monday is, like, for me not to let perfection get in the way of getting things done. It's progress, not perfection. And I think, you know, some of this stuff is so, I know it, but I haven't ever put it into practice. Some of it, but I haven't put any things into practice. And I have to know that I'm not going to master it immediately. I have habits that have taken 20 years or longer to form. And anyway, that was a really good turning place point for me.
Nice. Thank you for that reflection, as well as jumping further into the materials and really going into the learning assets. I appreciate that. Anyone else?
Well, this is Ramon. Last week, I really took what we had in terms of what Jay put on the board here. In terms of the dynamic agenda and in some of the readings, and I kind of put those things in the place where my biggest struggle is allotting the time blocks and then sticking to that commitment to myself so that I could properly plan and engage and see what's going on in my business and how I need to allocate myself. Because I allow my outside distractions just to take me so far out of my zone that I end up responding to typically everything. And so last week, I was able to actually fill that proper time for myself and start seeing what I was doing, what I was executing on, and I was able to, I think my energy bled down to my team, and we were working with a sense of urgency that was aligned properly to our business. We knew what was coming. We probably had, you know, we hit our goal, our production goal, which is, you know, which is a bigger number than what we had in a long time, but it didn't feel like there was a lot of energy put into it because we had good planning. We were seeing things better. I was getting here a little early in the day, and I was able to set my day up properly, and so I could put myself in position of where I needed to execute. And so where I find myself struggling the most is being able to do that consistently, because then I get pulled away and then start responding everywhere else. Well, last week was a little bit different, that I was able to actually put myself in that zone thing. So that was a win for me. But my biggest struggle has been since we started Stegan, and I see a lot of, like, just to reference Brandy's email, aha moments for myself is in our readings is where I see myself being taken out of the zone where I need to be. And so my struggle is trying to put myself there and stay there. Last week I was able to actually do it. So I've been game filming with myself in terms of, okay, what did I actually truly do different last week? And then how can I turn that into my routine moving forward? Because it felt easy once I was able to do that.
Nice. Yeah, it's interesting, right? There's this notion of Nathaniel, a coach who used to be here at Stegan, used to say, how long are you going to lament the first strike before the next pitch comes, right? And it's not about lamenting. It's about just getting back to your practice, getting back to your core, getting back to that zone that you want to be in, even when you get out. You're always going to get out in some form or fashion. There's always going to be triggers. There's always going to be things that want to pull you out. And what we're just trying to do is reduce the amount of time it takes for you to get back into that state. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
You'll never completely eliminate it. You just want to reduce the cycle time. So that's a big one that I think, you know, try to think about, or at least, you know, hold some compassion for yourself as you cycle through that. But I absolutely love this notion of, look, we got more than we wanted to get done, or more than we've gotten done in a long time, and it took less energy. That's what it's supposed to feel like. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else?
Yeah, Ruth, this is Doug. I've had some very good success with my dynamic agendas for my one-on-one meeting. I've also introduced the dynamic agenda to a project that I'm leading right now. And so I'm finding good success with that. It's thought out, and I have you know, a good understanding of what I want to cover, what needs to be covered, and keeping the meeting on time and in the proper flow. The issue that I've, you know, kind of come to realize is that not only just in my one-on-one, but in the project leading role that I have, as well as some of the meetings that I have with our CEOs, is I don't really have any ground rules in place. And I think I put it under the understanding that we're just carrying over the ground rules that we have from Tuesday because they seem to be very effective and encompassing everything that we want. But there's no formal discussion that starts off the meeting. So that's a piece that I will be putting in, not only with my one-on-ones, but also with my meetings with CEOs. That one of the things I took away from the problem-solving versus informing is making sure that everyone understands the objective. And I think the ground rules, you know, help to start the objective, which is let's forget the distractions and let's focus on why we're here. So it's something that I'll be working on going forward.
Nice. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
This is Vance. I just wanted to share some success I've had with the dynamic agenda and problem solving versus informing. That's something that's worked really well in our environment. Of course, you know, whenever issues surface, you know, we're so hyperactive to making a decision right there, and we have to because a lot of the time it has to do with the consumer, and we don't have the time to sit down and think about it. But just being able to you know, take that and game film it, you know, throw it off the dynamic agenda, resurface it in a meeting where guys have time to think about it, think about what maybe we could have done differently, and just collaborate on those ideas. I mean, if eventually get to, you know, a final outcome that's going to be more effective the next time, that's something that's worked just extremely well, and we've seen a lot more come from that whenever issues do surface, because now guys are coming forward, you know, with already ideas that they've already thought out on how to resolve the issue. So that's something that's been working very well for my team.
Nice. And this is like a big key step, right, what you've just articulated about guys are already thinking about how to solve the issues that we're now surfacing before they come into the meeting. That's a big part of this whole problem-solving shift that we're going to want to make. Anyone else? Okay. Well, so in the implementation plan, guys, I want to just remind you that one of the assignments was, hey, practice using the dynamic agenda tool for 5 meetings and then post an experience. And it sounds like you guys are getting some good cycles with the dynamic agenda. By all means, continue to post some of your takeaways, some of your struggles, et cetera, with that, and be sure to look at that on your implementation plan. This next section that we're going to go into is going to be problem solving versus informing. I'll point to the implementation plan. The two sort of assignments around that were practice it in an executive team meeting and then post the experience on an e-journal. So look for an area where you can actually start to get some applicability with this. But just to review, I don't know if you guys have your one sheet out or not, but the first step in problem solving versus informing is getting into a problem solving orientation, right? What does that really mean to you guys when you say get into a problem solving orientation? Anybody want to illustrate what that might mean for them?
I think maybe let go of any like agendas you have kind of going into the meeting, because I know that when I've gone into a meeting and I already have said what I need to let everybody know about, that I'm not in a mode to listen as much and be in a problem-solving orientation, because, you know, you're just waiting for your time to talk and everything. So just kind of looking out for what other people are going to want in the meeting and not just yourself.
Yeah, so maybe just getting rid of the bullets in the chamber, so to speak, right? You come in with preloaded gun, ready to fire away whatever arguments or whatever things you need to get said. So getting rid of those kind of preset things is absolutely a part of it. What else?
I think it kind of helps you set the tone for the meeting. Like you said, no preloaded information, but, you know, with the desire to have the best, you know, information or, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to solve, I think it said the best outcome, you know, for that meeting.
Yeah, and so that's a big one, is what's the outcome we want for today, right? Steve, you're going to be familiar with this in the drama triangle, and if you guys have read the TED book, this will sound familiar, otherwise we'll be covering it in the next quarter, I believe. But what is it that I want is a big shift to getting towards outcomes, getting towards things that actually help further a conversation outside of sort of the baggage, quote unquote, which is lack of a better word, that we bring to it. And so in this situation, it's showing up to a meeting saying, what outcome do we need today from this meeting? That's all we're asking you to do is ask yourself that as a frame before you step into the meeting. And as an experience, I think that would make a great e-journal post, is just asking yourself that question before you get in and notice what happens to you when you're in a meeting. At the beginning of the meeting, we had talked about sort of how the dynamic agenda comes into play. One of the things that I would ask you guys to start to notice is how your dynamic agenda notes and key decisions start to get populated and start to get refined as you get more cycles with the dynamic agenda. It's a practice thing, right? At first, you often use it for just taking notes or keeping kind of key bullet points. Eventually, you're going to start to focus on just putting the very, very core thing that needs to be decided or the core outcome you need from an actual meeting. What happens if a decision maker is absent from a meeting that you need to have an outcome from? Anybody?
Never happens here.
What would you do if, let's say, you guys needed approval for something fairly large in terms of budget, and Jeff and Steve are both out?
Just reschedule the meeting for a later date. Maybe discuss key topics that we may want to bring up, but don't waste any time there since that person is not available when we reschedule for the next meeting.
Yeah, and what does that practically look like when you say reschedule that decision?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Do you reschedule the meeting or do you reschedule the decision in which the meeting is made?
Oh, reschedule the decision. So
yeah,
which
exactly.
So we just move that topic to the next meeting.
And that's the nuance, right? A lot of teams end up running out of steam on their structural meetings, oftentimes because there's absences, whatever, and they just say, you know what, we're gonna cancel this one because so and so isn't here. And then before you know it, those meetings are no longer even on the board for them to stay to attend, right? And that's what we want to prevent. You want to keep meeting because you would think that there would be additional things you guys could discuss or at least further agreement on or at least information on to serve a better meeting, right? So just make sure that as you guys kind of get up into these situations, that you reschedule the decision meeting, not the actual meeting. Can someone explain to me what a timeout or a parking lot is?
Just basically the tool to use that may be taking the discussion off topic. It might be a good idea to talk about later, so I've used it in the past where we just actually write it on the board, and if time permits, after we finish the meeting, we might be able to talk about that item. If not, that could be an item that would go on the next agenda.
Yeah. Have you guys had to use a timeout before?
Yeah, I've had some situations in my structural meetings where, you know, the priority is to, you know, just overcome or identify some focuses, but then other issues arise, and that's whenever, you know, we could take that into a whole other meeting. So that's whenever I would use time out and just say, you know, hey, let's get that out there, let's get it done, but let's move forward onto the main priority of this meeting, and you know, we may want to go ahead and move that focus to another structural meeting.
Yep. What about in situations, what's available to you in situations where you have someone who sort of dominates the time or dominates the discussion? You don't even have to dominate the time to dominate the discussion. Does anybody have an experience that they can share in which they've had to redirect or sort of draw out other people's participation?
Redirected, but I think I've heard Jeff or Steve, either with me or someone else in a meeting, just go, like, basically, we get where you're going on that, but we need to get back on the, you know, where we understand what you're saying there, and or we're clear, can we get back on topic there? So I guess the person knows that they've been heard.
Yeah, that's great, and that's the key point, right? It's not a personal thing. It's just acknowledging where they're coming from and then bringing the space back open to everyone else's participation. Question for you guys. Do you guys have someone who actually puts out notes and key decisions from each meeting?
Jeff.
Huh?
Jeff does?
Yeah.
Yeah, from our
from the executive team meetings.
Yeah, for more sales operations, it's Eric.
Okay. Yeah, and that's another good way. I mean, this is what the dynamic agenda is used for, but it's another good way to basically make sure that everybody's on the same page and everybody has the same understanding. I was at a company a few years ago where they would have someone take notes from the entire meeting. They were detailed notes with all the action items actually listed out, and then send it out to everyone with a 24-hour notice of you get to change whatever was written in the notes to add to them or to further people's understanding of them, and then they get published and then they're set in stone. It's another twist on sort of just making sure that we're detailed about what happened in a meeting and what outcomes we got from a meeting. So that being said, what are some of the things you guys see as challenges on problem solving versus informing or even just working with it or making the shift to it? Or do you feel like you guys are in a good place with it?
This is Brandy. I actually think that we do a pretty good job in our main executive meeting. I know that I could do better in my one-on-ones, like definitely with Steve, because, and I don't know if it's that we don't catch up very much at all during the week, but I know that there's a lot of time spent on, I feel like, on the in me informing in there. But we had a pretty good talk about what may have been leading to that, which was my lack of dialogue or using effective dialogue in the meetings. But I just sitting here discussing this, I know I need to be way more mindful of that in my one-on-one meeting. It just seems harder, I guess, going into that one because you feel like the attention's kind of on you because it's a one-on-one meeting. So.
Yeah. I mean, so that's an interesting point is how do you think problem-solving versus informing shifts in one-on-one meetings versus group meetings?
I also think, this is Steve, I also think it gets a little more difficult with me because I think, and that's something I've got to become more aware of, is what am I doing to influence that behavior where people feel a need to inform me way more than I need to know. I mean, when I think about what I want to be informed of is way less than what I'm being informed of, and I think I've got to do a better job of coaching people to, I don't need to know everything. I just need to know where you are stuck and what can I do to support you in clearing your path. And do you have a clear line of sight of understanding what you need to achieve this week and what obstacles are in the way? And that's really anything I need. If you're on track and everything's going good, I don't really need to know all the details of things. So that's probably the biggest thing. And I have a little bit different view on the weekly meeting. I still think we do too much informing because just the way the structure where we kind of just read our KPIs. And I think what we really need to do is we make really good improvements there, but I think we can get even better where we are talking about problem solving. But I think we try to hit every line item on the KPIs. Many of them are in green, and they're fine, so they don't need comments on. Some of them are in yellow, which means you're within 10%, and you're fine, right? And so what we really need to be doing is, unless there was something really significant about the green that was a big aha, skip over those and just really talk about where we're stuck. And I think we're getting there, but we need to continue to push harder for those.
What do you think are some things, what are some shifts that you think you could help make or help the team make?
One, I think we just need to continue to push the message of just preparation is make sure that you look over the KPIs, come prepared with questions. And then each presenter, just make sure that they have the right structure to report on. So, for instance, if I have two or three KPIs assigned to me, I should know the only thing I need to report on is any area where I'm stuck. Even if I, you know, let's say, for instance,
no more gifts. Beautiful.
Hey, Eric, can you go on mute?
I'm upstairs. I'm coming right now, guys.
Okay. Just go on mute. So take sales, for instance. Sales may have a goal of 55 cars. They hit it last week. And if they're going to hit it again, they feel they're going to hit it this week, there's no need to report. But if they, even if they hit it last week and they think there's something that is going to prevent them from hitting it this week, then they should report. So I think it's about really reporting on here's where I'm stuck and where I need help, or here's where I'm lacking clarity. I think if we can get to that level of detail and leave out all the stuff is, well, here was my goal, I hit it, and because we know you hit it. And so I think is if it's something that we can look at the spreadsheet and get the answer, you don't need to say it. That would be the starting point for me.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. It's a balance. Why do you, I mean, it really gets down to the core issue of why do you think people feel the need to address things that you don't necessarily think that they need to address?
Yeah, I think it's just the structure, how we line it up and we in the flow of the meetings, and it, a lot of it's how we run them in the past. This is, okay, Doug, you're up. Talk about your KPI. Well, if I ask Doug to talk about his KPI, he's going to talk about his KPI, even if he hit it, right? And because that's kind of the habit that we formed. And so what we really need to do is change the how we report. And so instead of me saying, Doug, report on your KPI, I say, Doug, anything you need to report on your KPI, are you stuck anywhere? You've got it. You can say, you know, my action last week was work with these three people. Got it done, no issues, good to go, going to continue, or I'm going to, you know, going to continue to work with two of them and I'm going to add one more, right, and then move on, right? But if he doesn't need to go into the details of what he did and what he didn't do, because what we need to be able to say is we assume you're in control and you've got it handled unless you raise it in this meeting. Because the meeting should be come and share with where you are stuck or maybe unclear so the rest of this team can help you clear your path. And I think that's where the real value for me is in the weekly leadership meeting isn't the fact that we get together and report our numbers. The real value is can you have all the different departments working together and being able to support one another to find the best solution of where someone's stuck. And if we can get that done, we're going to have a much more effective. And again, I don't want to say that I mean, we made tremendous progress over the last quarter and certainly from where we were a year ago. But I think what I would like to see more of, or I hope to get to, is let's say, for instance, dealing with the sales, Eric may say ahead of time, hey, guys, I did my number was 55 last week. I did 55 last week, but this week I'm concerned I'm only going to be able to do 45 because of these reasons. He puts that out the day ahead. We can all think about that and I'm prepared to help him, you know, with options. That would be even more effective.
I agree. I'm curious, do you guys have a ground rule for your executive team meeting that helps to address this? Because if you don't, it might be interesting to adjust or add a ground rule that says, hey, the assumption, maybe it's, you know, we assume you have it unless you voice it or something along those lines, which gives people the permission in an explicit way to not necessarily cover everything that might be on a piece of paper.
Can I do it? Everything on the table? Well,
be messy.
I think I'm going to be pretty concise. I still think, though, that there is a, for me, in I feel like I do a lot of preparation for the meeting to make sure that I can answer any question directed at me, because the last thing I want is a question that I cannot answer, even if I'm in the green, because it does happen that even when you're in the green, there could be a question, and I'll bring up a specific example, and it's not bad or good. I'm just saying that, I mean, all I could think of was, whew, thank God I looked into that, and that was, I was in the green this week, but not as far in the green, I guess, as what I had projected the week before. And so, you know, I do the report and what I've accomplished this week and what my action is for the next week. And then Steve's like, because I was at 25, but I projected that I'd be at 35, but 25 is still in the green. And Steve is like, well, you said last week you'd be at 35. And all I could think was, thank God I had done enough preparation to know that the reason I'm not at 35 is because of deposit deals. And so, you know, and then that spurns the next time, instead of coming into it thinking about how I can help other people's things, I'm thinking, let me make sure that I have every single base covered, even if I'm in the green, because I do not want to get asked a question that I cannot answer. And so I think I over-prepare in a very defensive mode for the meeting, and then when I get a question like that, and I'm so thankful I can answer it, it just reinforces, do not give up, you know, making sure that you have every single base covered, because you don't want to have...
I think if you're in the green, but see, I think in that situation you weren't in the green.
No, I was, the week before I wasn't.
But your goal was, we just didn't update the report, but your goal was, my goal for this week is 35. You did 26, but that's what draw the question is, when you're that a goal, right? And so this is what I'm
just thought that so that's where I'm missing, because I said we should be able to do 35 based on the sales, but I didn't know that was my changed goal. I thought the goal
for that
was still the same.
That was your commitment for the week. That's what
I think was maybe confusing is that we have the what we did, but then to the left of it, it has the, I guess, the minimum expectation. So because we surpassed the minimum, it goes green.
Yeah. So
think of it this way, and not to jump over because we don't want to go into problem-solving mode on this, is that the reason why it was important for you to deliver 35 or some number up there was to get back on track, Brandy, to hit the 100 for the month. And perhaps so another way of thinking about this was yeah, I think the pace from memory was 90 for the month compared to 100 to say, hey, yeah, look, you know, even though I strictly speaking beat the weekly target, I didn't get to the back on track level because of deposit deals, et cetera. So, but that aside, I think this is a good example for me that not just our weekly meetings, but any meeting, for us to go into problem solving mode as opposed to informing, it's really about understanding the what's really going on. So, you know, in this case, you know, you understood what was going on that week. And so to be able to then go into problem solving mode and talk more about problems, you know, or opportunities to solve the problem, I think what we've got to do is a better job of turning up, understanding why we underperformed. You know, example, you know, if recon is under or sales is under, or front gross is under, something that I'm related to, you know, unless we turn up to the meeting with really prepared, having really thought about why did I underperform or why am I underperforming, you can't. It's very difficult to then go into problem-solving discussion at the meeting if we don't understand the root causes. So I think turning up, all of us turning up better prepared, having really thought about the root causes of the underperformance will help us drive more discussion on problem solving, i.e. getting back on track, at our weekly meetings would be my...
The other thing, too, that I want to really make sure the group understands, what I'm looking for specifically is, do you have the capability to zoom out 1 week and say, can I zoom out and predict what I'm going to be able to deliver for the group? That's the discipline I want you to be able to do. So when you look out and say, I'm going to deliver this, then I expect that you deliver that. If you don't, then to Jeff's point is, what happened? I want you to be able to game field. This is what I thought I was going to do. I'm only zooming out. It's Tuesday. I'm only zooming out to through next Monday. What happened? And so get in these things to recognize these things, because that will build your ability to really read situations. A good example was the other, it doesn't mean we change necessarily the overall goal, but you've got to look out to be able to say, this is what I can deliver over the next week. And just being able to do that, and if you miss it, come back and know why. If you hit it, great, then you're starting to, you know, build it. You'll recall the other week where Peter said, I can't do 1,200, I'm going to change the goal to 1,100. And Jeff said, hold on, time out. We're not going to change the goal. What we need to understand is, what's holding you back from 1,200? Peter, let's get a meeting together. Well, we're not going to sit here and automatically lower gross by $100 a car and take a 20 grand hit just because you didn't hit it the last few weeks and now you're not going. We got a problem solved. So he scheduled the meeting. They made some adjustments. The following week comes back $1,279. So that's what we want to happen. It's okay to be stuck. You know, I've been stuck on contacts, and I've reached out and said, hey, need some help, please help. I'm stuck there. And so that's okay, and I don't have a solution to it. So that's what we want to be able to do, is problem solve with these type of issues. But what I don't want to do is, and what I think we get into the trap of, is we see the number, okay, I hit it last week, oh yeah, I hit it this week. And we may not be able to. So if Ramon hit 60 cars last week and his goal is 60 this week, and then he says, hold on one second, I only got 36 cars in the pipeline, I might have 50-55, you know, okay, great, let's look at what we can do to make sure he hits his 50-55 for this week, because it's a pipeline issue, so we may have to adjust it for that week just because of supply. But how then, when we build up supply, how do we help move him for, if he does 50, how do we get him back to 60-65 the following week when he does have it? And those are the things that we need to be problem solving. But what I want to get away from is, we come in, we report our numbers, we either miss them or don't, and then we said, okay, yep, we'll do it again this week. And all we're doing is coming in and reporting numbers, but we're not really getting to the root cause of why aren't we hitting them. And if you're able to prepare for the meetings, and we do effective problem solving where we're using the collective resources of this group, we'll have a much better learning opportunity to say, ah, this is why I'm not hitting my numbers. And, you know, to Ramon's, you know, comments earlier this morning, he realized that through this, hey, wait a second, there are certain distractions that are getting in the way. We raise that awareness. And one of the things that I learned through Sagan is, without awareness, there are only habits. And so we default to those habits of distractions. And we these things continue to distract us, and we react, and then we come to the meeting, oh, we didn't get our, we didn't hit our goal. And then we go back to distraction, oh, we didn't hit our goal. Now what Ramon has been able to do is step back and say, wait a second, by looking at it, why aren't I hitting 60 cars? Oh, there's these distractions. So now he's more conscious of the distractions when they show up in front of him. Nope, I'm not going to let that get in the way. Nope, I'm not going to let that get away. And the other thing is, he said, I stayed in my zone. It was uncomfortable, but I stayed in my zone. And now he game films, says, last week I hit 60 cars. Why? Because I didn't get distracted and I stayed in my zone. He has that learning now. And then when he misses again, he'll probably say, oh, I was either distracted or I didn't stay in my zone. So that's what we want to build through all of this.
This is Ramon. I was letting everyone speak. I probably have probably one of the best examples of this, because every day my guys have to call a commitment out of each zone, and we have not established the consistency of flow that we want for our 10 cars per day. Now, for whatever reason, it could be a vendor situation or whatever. This is something that I got from Jeff in our conversation yesterday, is not if we're not delivering on that commitment, do we understand the consequences? Not necessarily that there are negative consequences in terms of potential of not being around or anything, but what kind of consequences are we subject to by not delivering on those goals? And so when my guys call a specific number out of each zone that they're committed to producing for the next day, and then they come and they actually miss, do they understand what impacted them, what obstacle presented itself, why they miss? Or am I just allowing them to say, okay, well, I missed, but I'm just going to get my 10 today? Well, you only got 7 yesterday, and you're calling 10 today. You actually owe me 13 because the consequence is you set the team back by 3. You owe me 3 on your 10, so your 10 is now 13. And so do they understand the consequences and the impact to the overall organization, the meeting, the team, the output? And so one of the things that I got from Jeff yesterday is, am I conveying to them their actual impact, the consequence of them not meeting that obligation? And so, you know, that's one of the things that I know I need to get better with, is holding them to accountable to that miss. So if you miss by 3 and you're telling me 10 today, I need my 13. And so that's a great example for me. I live that every day. Because that keeps us from, falling into that heroic moments, like Jeff calls them, in terms of recon every day. Are we truly balanced? Do we truly know? If I'm not going to get 10 Monday, what is Wednesday going to look like? Should Wednesday really be 14? So call a real realistic number and know, and then am I holding them accountable to it?
Ramon, that's a good point. Another observation, I think that for all of us, you know, we whether it's Ramon on his production meetings or our weekly Tuesday meetings, etc., one of the things that, you know, I've certainly been guilty of and in the past, and we all need to avoid, is that not only ourselves but our team members turning up to those meetings and they become survival meetings. You know, I have our week morning production meeting. All I've got to do is survive it, right? You know, it's and if that kind of mindset is allowed to creep in, and it's not often conscious, it's a subconscious thing where people, you know, I turn up to the production meeting, I survive it, and that I think is where we as managers have to be very, very aware of that dynamic. So in Ramon's case, you know, holding people accountable and then game filming with them why they missed their 10 commitment and what was the real drivers and how can we help to work it together to cure them, and, you know, get people out of that I just got to get my head down and kind of survive the production meeting. I've just got to get my head down and survive the Tuesday meeting, you know. And I think that's a dynamic that can creep into these regular meetings, a bit like the sales meeting. You know, all I've got to do is throw the right number out and survive it. Well, you know, if we let people do that and it becomes I've just got to say the right number, then – you know, it becomes a worthless and toothless meeting. In fact, it becomes very negative. So I think it's down to us as managers to ensure that we're actually following up with people and holding them accountable, but also then working with them on really identifying the root causes and game filming their achievements against their commitments. And that puts a big obligation on us, I think.
Yeah, that's interesting, this notion of surviving a meeting, or am I actively coming in and contributing and moving it forward? Right.
Yeah, and what we, you know, are looking for in these meetings is, you know, the practice of one of our values of transparency, right, is to say, be transparent and tell me where you are stuck. Where is it that you don't understand? Because to Jeff's point is, if the meetings are survival type, they'll come in and say, oh, yeah, I'll just shoot you a number that you'll like, sounds good, and I can get in and out of this meeting, and you'll move on to say, oh, yeah, I didn't do anything yesterday, but I've got 3 appointments here, Eric. And Eric says, oh, well, good. Okay, you're back. And we move on, right? As opposed to saying, yeah, I didn't have any appointments yesterday. Okay, let's talk about why. Instead of saying I've got 3 today and moving on, is where did you get distracted yesterday? Or what tempted you to do something else, right? You know, what's getting in the way of you having more success? And then they can share those things. That's a much more productive conversation than them coming in and saying, oh, sorry, I missed it, but I got 3 coming today. But if we don't fix what's getting in the way, the distractions and the temptations, what's going to happen is he's going to come back tomorrow or the next day and say, oh, you're not going to believe it. They all canceled me again, but I've got 4 now, right? And then eventually it steamrolls. Then it becomes he's missed it 2 or 3 days in a row, and he's got so much pressure. Now it's overwhelming, and he checks out, right? Because I got to keep promising, and if I get to the point where I can't deliver on that number, whether that's recon or whether that's sales or even us in the room. And so I think it's our job to make sure we're having the conversations with the people to say, do you understand, are you clear as to what your plan is this week to deliver your results? Is that clear to you? If it's not, let's talk about specific, are you working on the right things? Because they're probably working hard, but they may not be working on the right things. So we have to get clarity there. And then what are the obstacles? What's getting in the way of you doing that?
That's an interesting notion, right? Because you guys are all leaders, and you have a very deep set of experiences that have informed why you think something is going to work or isn't going to work. And part of the shift is being able to use that experience with more junior employees to help them see the experience groups. If you have someone who you know is not going to hit a number based on the things that they're saying, it's your, you know, can you shift to be a coach and help them see why that doesn't work based on your experience? And it's not a combative situation. The shift there is going into a coach mode and challenger mode, and even sometimes even in between the two.
And for me, that's the key point that I've realized, that it's our obligation to create that dynamic in the meeting. And often it will involve, because of the time constraints and size of teams, et cetera, that you can't circle back round with you can't dive deep in the meeting, so that you've got to then say, well, okay, you know, John, the second day you've missed your target. Let me circle round with you outside the meeting. And that's a big obligation on us as leaders to create that time to be coaches and challengers, and not just get into this meeting lasts an hour, let's just run through the meeting and without any actions after it. And that's how our conversation yesterday with Ramon and I developed, where I basically was asking the question of, you know, if somebody says I'll do 10 and they miss it, I'll do 10, I miss it, and I do 10, I miss it. What happens? You know, what do we do as leaders? And it's not that you're reprimanding the person, but what are you doing to circle back around with them to game film and challenge and problem solve? And so I think we have to, in classic driver select mode, you know, point with the thumb and challenge ourselves, because it puts a big workload on us and an obligation on us.
Yeah. Well, we are rounding out the last 8 minutes of this call, and it's been meaty and juicy, and I appreciate both a little bit of the messiness and intensity as well as some of the challenge and the engagement. Any takeaways you guys want to speak to before we round out and kind of finish out the call?
This is Vance. I would just really say a key takeaway is stressing the importance of utilizing resources and preparation. That's something, you know, we've spent the last 10 or 15 minutes talking about our Tuesday meeting. I noticed, you know, on week-to-week scales, you know, it almost takes us, you know, failing to really find the importance in game filming when that's something that we should always do. And typically whenever it's, you know, me, Eric, and Doug, you know, really, really prepared, we have spent at least an hour on the prior day or the prior week focusing on, you know, the attention of the execution of the goal going forward and how we're going to do that. And that's when we come to the Tuesday meetings the most prepared. But that's something I'm going to stress moving forward is just the importance of utilizing my resources in preparation before these meetings.
That's great. Thank you. Anybody else? You know, one of the big takeaways for me from this call, ask why, what's the root cause, right? This is one of the key points of problem solving and shifting to a problem solving mentality is one thing to read out where I'm at. It's one thing to even, you know, say, hey, I'm stuck on this. It's another thing to say, hi, I'm stuck on this, and I've reflected on why, and here's my hypothesis, or here's what I think. What do you think, right? That brings in a real momentum shift for problem solving when you can say, hey, I'm stuck, here's why I think I'm stuck. Or here's what I think I need help with. Here's the driver, here's a root cause. What do you think? That has immediate impact on how someone else orients themselves to a meeting, to a conversation, to even initiative points. Anybody else?
I've done, you know, Mav Dyes and Parento fish bones and things in a previous life. And one of the biggest mistakes we always made was, you know, when we got ourselves into the problem solving orientation mode to say, okay, we see the problem. But as operators, we always kind of figured out we knew what the end result was going to be. We knew. Going into the meeting, and so because we didn't set ourselves up right to be receptive to the possibility of being wrong, sometimes we kind of forced the agenda and the outcome to be what we thought it was as opposed to being receptive to allow, you know, the outside advice and opinions and things to form to be the truth of what the real root cause is. And I think the biggest mistake we can make is to assume we already know the root cause. And so that why is very important in being transparent and accepting the fact that, you know what, you do have an issue. You know, one thing, another thing Jeff said. Jeff says a lot of things to me. That's why I say one thing Jeff said to me. But the one thing Jeff said to me was, you know.
Some of it even makes sense.
This is
one of them dead.
Well, but be vulnerable with the things that you have going on, and it's okay that you have them, but you got to be vulnerable in order to make that impact and that change. And so, for me, that's the most pressing thing that I can walk away from is, you know, being receptive to, you know, other folks' opinion as to what they see the problem is.
Yeah, there's this important concept of vulnerability as a leader and what my relationship is to that. And if I show up vulnerable, does that weaken my stance as a leader of my group or my people or my department? Or can I be vulnerable in a way that helps show a path for others to be vulnerable and open. And that's a really, really fine line, and it takes a long time for people to learn that, but I think it's an important one to reflect on.
Brené Brown, TED Talk on the power of vulnerability and leadership. That's what that reminds me of.
It'd be great if someone posted that to the e-journal. Yeah.
She was multitasking.
I gotcha.
Listening to Doug. I'm sorry, can you repeat
that? Sorry,
the whirlwind. I got called a name dropper.
It would be awesome if you could post that to the e-journal.
I will, yeah. I should watch it once a month just to remind myself.
Well, guys, any other takeaways or reflections?
For me, as Steve, my big one is I think there is a correlation between preparation and predictability. The more we really prepare for the weekly meetings is to look back and reflect, why did I miss my target and what adjustments do I have to make to get back on track for this week, and where am I stuck, and bring those to the meeting, I'm more likely to predict accurately where I'm going to end up over the next week. But if I don't prepare and I just show up, report my numbers, and then there's my goal for this week, and I'm like, shit, I missed it last week, I better say, yeah, I'll hit it this week. And then if I don't hit it, maybe I just come with a good reason why, excuse, or I'll spend something else I did positive, right? And none of that solves the real issue. So I think for me, as a group, if we can really discipline ourselves to say we're going to prepare more by reflecting what got in the way, what were the challenges and obstacles and learning from the prior week, and then how does that learning, apply to my work this week in a way that allows me to hit my goal. And if I'm concerned I can't hit my goal, I bring to the meeting, as Ruth said, here's my plan to hit my goal, but I'm stuck. Anybody have any ideas?
And that's in advance of the meeting so that we could give reflection on it.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Steve. Well, it's our hour. I appreciate everyone's engagement again and the depth of this conversation. Look forward to your e-journal post as you guys continue to grapple with some of this stuff, especially on the problem-solving versus informing topic. And Jay will be with you guys, I believe, live next week. So thank you again. Have a great rest of the week.
All right. Sounds good.
Appreciate it.